We have a special offer for first-time donors to Issues Etc. For any size gift during the months of January and February, we'll send you an autographed copy of Pastor Will Wheaton's new book, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. Make your first-time contribution online at issuesetc.org or send your check to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, and we'll send you an autographed copy of Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey.
It's one thing to talk to Jesus. It's another thing when Jesus talks to you.
Exactly. Okay, well,
that's called mental illness, if I'm not correct.
Christians believe that God talks to them through His Word. This is a basic Christian belief and not something that really should be held up for mocking or ridicule.
Conservatives in America believe in limited government. Fascists believe in unlimited government. Conservatives tend to believe in objective morality. Fascists reject it.
Death is to wander away from the home of your father. Death is losing the home He prepared for you to live in. Death is exiling yourself from His embrace and His love.
This is Tony from upstate South Carolina, and LTL freight haulers love Issues Etc.
City Journal has a headline, State Islam. In France, President Macron faces major questions regarding French secularism. Is France actually a secular state? What is the real relationship between church and state in France? Is it overstating the case to say that with the proposed changes to help ensure that Islam does not become a foothold for terrorist ideas, terrorist instruction, preaching in the mosques in France, is it overstating the case to say that the answer is state Islam in France? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery about Islam and French secularism. A little bit later, Terry Mattingly joins us to talk about some media coverage of the life and work of Billy Graham so far in the last 24 hours or so. How has his life been covered by the media? And we'll talk the religion of sex with Dr. Scott Murray, editor of the Issues Etc., book of the month for February, The Gates of Hell, Confessing Christ in a Hostile World. Joining us to discuss Islam and French secularism, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, emeritus professor at the University of Bedfordshire in England. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, and a member of the bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. Professor at large with 1517, the Legacy Project, director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. He's authored and edited more than 50 books, including his latest, Defending the Gospel in Legal Style. And he joins us from Strasbourg, France. Dr. Montgomery, welcome back.
Thank you.
What is the French tradition with respect to the relationship between church and state, Dr. Montgomery?
Well, this is interesting because I was sent this article in the City Journal, whatever that is, by a journalist named Theodore Dalrymple. And this has confirmed my view that if there had been journalists at the time Dante did his Inferno, he would have put these journalists at the center along of the Inferno, along with Brutus, Cassius, and Judas. And this article is very misleading. And it starts out by suggesting that the president of France, Macron, Emmanuel Macron, is not a Christian at all. Fact of the matter is, he was converted at the age of 12. He says now that he isn't attending church regularly, and he'd rather talk about transcendence. But the fact of the matter is that he is far more religiously orientated than this article would suggest. And the article goes on to say that Islam is going to be made an exception to the French separation of church and state. And that is just a lot of nonsense. Let me give a little bit of background on the connections between Islam and France. First of all, for over 100 years, France colonized Algeria and had a tremendous influence in other North African countries. And those countries, of course, are predominantly today and then Islam, Muslim. The result of this was that after the end of the colonial period, far more natives, North African natives, came to France than to other European countries or to the United States, because they had had a French background, and they were automatically, naturally inclined in that direction. So you have more people of Islamic background in France today than you do in other European countries, even though Germany has done everything to encourage workers to come there, and even though in England there hasn't been anything done seriously to limit Muslim terrorist activity. Anyway, you have a lot of Muslims in France, but it's important to recognize that France differs from other Western countries in that it has a very high sense of its own identity and language. And it insists that people who come into France who are not French, that they become French. I happen to be in process of naturalization at the moment, and France is one of the few countries in the world that will not naturalize you if you can't speak the language. And the culture, the school system, the whole business pushes people to become as French as possible. All right. Now, this, of course, doesn't work everywhere. It doesn't work in the suburbs, in the banlieue. In the banlieue, you have a lot of people who are, for example, young immigrants. You have problems of a lack of work for people out of work. And in contexts like that, radical Islamic mosques turn up. So the government is now saying that there needs to be more control over the Islamic situation. This, however, is not equivalent to making an exception to French separation of church and state. The government is not going to run Islam. It's just going to make sure that Islamic mosques that are radical are eliminated, and that Islam is not going to violate the fundamental civil liberties of France.
When a Muslim emigrates into France and wants to become a French citizen, you say become as French as possible. What does that mean with respect to, if any, with respect to religious beliefs? You talked about eliminating radical mosques or that kind of element.
Yeah. Well, there, of course, is no religious requirement in becoming a French citizen. But the fact of the matter is that the person is going to will have a discussion, a very detailed discussion as to the values that that person represents and why the person wants to become French. And that discussion is in the French language. And so if the person is obviously not thinking in those terms, the person is not going to become a citizen. Now, along with this, of course, you've got the problem today in all European countries and in America of refugees. Refugees are in a different category. If they have been persecuted in their homeland, then they're going to be able to become citizens, or they're going to become residents, at least, without the same requirements. But that's not what we're talking about. That certainly isn't the case with North African French. They're not coming in, they can't come in as persecuted people. They're coming in just as I am applying for residency and for citizenship here.
There is something in the article from City Journal about money coming from both North African and Persian Gulf states to pay imams, but also to construct mosques. What's the French view on something like that?
Well, the average Frenchman is appalled by this, but of course the fact of the matter is that there is nothing illegal about a foreign country or religions in a foreign country supplying money for evangelism. The U.S. does this all the time. Missionary organizations in the United States supply money to build churches all over the world. And I don't think that we can object to that as such. In my view, the problem here is not a political problem. And that's the difficulty with this Dalrymple article. It sees this whole thing as a political issue. The real issue is ideological. The real issue has to do with the beliefs of Islam. We are not interested anywhere in eliminating religious freedom. But there is a difference among religions. The fact of the matter is that Islam has an obnoxious creed and an obnoxious so-called revelation. And as a result of this, terrorism arises out of that context. You don't find this in the case of Buddhists, in most instances, at least not since the 16th century, and you certainly don't find this among Christians. And if in France and in the United States and elsewhere, people were willing to recognize the obnoxious character of the religious beliefs, then there would be a different approach to this kind of thing. The approach would be to be sure that the people who are members of this religion or these religions do not hold to those beliefs. Huh? And if they do hold to those beliefs, you don't let them in, or you throw them out, because they turn out to be obnoxious for the body politic.
Dr. John Ward Montgomery is our guest on this Thursday afternoon. We're talking about Islam and French secularism. Well, here in the U.S., we look very carefully at where the immigrants are coming from. Does France do the same? Stay tuned.
In Romans 15, Paul tells us, "Therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." But what does Christian welcome really look like? Find out this month in the Lutheran Witness magazine as we explore hospitality, diversity, and what these ideas mean for Lutheran Christians today. Subscribe or read a sample issue at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Listen to the best of the Church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
People have confused pietism with piety and dumped piety along with dumping pietism. It's resulted in a real confusion about this.
Pastor Will Whedon, on his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, making the case for godliness.
Any thought about dealing with how we actually live our lives is regarded as being, that's law, that's what we've been freed from, we don't have to think about that. Well, no, the whole point is, what does it look like to live with Jesus Christ having been crucified and raised from the dead?
You can meet and hear Pastor Whedon Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 618-223-8385. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Islam and French secularism. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. Dr. Montgomery, the problem we're discussing here, is not only France. Here in the U.S., what we do is we pay very close attention to the source countries, especially those who have more radical Islamic ideas in kind of installed in their government. In that sense, does France show a way forward for more than just themselves on this issue?
France is not doing what the U.S. wanted to do to identify certain states, but it's examining individual applications to make sure that the person is not actually representing that kind of radicalism. Now, how effectively, I don't know. I did an article which appears in my book, Defending the Gospel in Legal Style. I did an essay which was presented in several locations, including the United States, on how to limit terrorist immigration. And that might be of interest to your readers. But the problem here is, in my view, that both in the United States and in Europe, nobody wants to say anything negative about Muslim beliefs. Everybody wants to say that these extremists, the radicals, are a breed apart, and they have perverted the original religious position to support their views. In the case of Islam, this is categorically incorrect. As Christine Schumacher, the foremost specialist on Islam in Germany, has said, the fact of the matter is that the Islamic radicals are the consistent ones. They are carrying out exactly what Islamic tradition has always done. It's conversion by the sword, and it's a refusal to allow the kinds of human rights that we consider fundamental in the West. And this is further illustrated by the fact that there isn't any Near Eastern human rights system at all. There's a European human rights system and an American human rights system, but there isn't any in the Near East. And the reason for this is that Islam is not on the wavelength of human rights. And if people would stop thinking that it's prejudicial, and non-politically correct to identify the errors in a religious position, then they'd be in a position to understand what really needs to be done. But as long as we take this view that somehow it's intolerant and politically incorrect to criticize Islam, we're never going to be able to face the dangers that are present here.
The article also mentions the French Council of the Muslim Religion, established in 2003 by then President Nicolas Sarkozy. What is this entity?
Well, it's just a private organization that attempts to give a better status to reliable Muslim leaders. Okay, and of course that's a fine idea, but it doesn't have any real power, and most Muslims don't even know it exists, to say nothing about their imams being members of it. One of the problems in France and in other countries is that you don't, in a country where you don't have a native Muslim population, your imams, your teachers, the equivalent of a priest, for example, will certainly be coming from somewhere else, be coming from a country that is Islamic, generally from one of the Gulf states that have the money to do this kind of thing. And the difficulty with this is, of course, that the whole business is not a native sort of situation. Those leaders who come in, those imams who come in, they're not seeking French citizenship, for heaven's sake. They're there as missionaries. And as missionaries, often they are radicals and are the source of attracting young people to go, for example, into the Islamic State terrorist organization.
We began our conversation, you were talking about the City Journal article being inaccurate with respect to Emmanuel Macron. It begins with a quote, and his status as a believer in God, it begins with a quote from him saying, when asked if he believed in God, that's a real question, a complex question. I undoubtedly believe in transcendence. I am not sure anymore that I believe in God. Yes, I believe in transcendence. How do you read that quote, and if you would address the misconception?
Well, it's the kind of thing that, unfortunately, politicians will say in order to keep everybody happy. The fact of the matter is that Macron was converted to Catholicism at 12 years of age, all right? And he spent time at a Jesuit school, okay? And he said that he absorbed their values. And today he says that, I'm quoting from another interview, that this has had a permanent effect on the nature of my own faith. Okay, I consider my spirituality to nourish my thinking in whatever I do. Now, this is not the kind of testimony we would want, surely, but at least it isn't the kind of thing that comes from the far left, where, for example, Mélenchon, the head of the far left party, has said, "I dump all religion." So, you know, that's unfortunate. And the article also suggests that all of France involves the separation of church and state. That isn't true at all. Separation of church and state in France occurred in 1905, and at that time the Alsace was still part of the German Empire. And there was a concordat which established permanently four religious positions as state supported in the Alsace. They were the Roman Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, the Calvinists, and the Jews. And the that continues today. That continues today. The French Constitutional Council ruled on this and said that that concordat is still legally valid in international law. And so here in the Alsace, where we live, our Lutheran churches are state churches. Now, Dalrymple, you know, didn't have a clue about this. And the Alsace is one of the most influential areas of France. And in that part of France, in eastern France, you've got state churches. They're financed by taxation, government taxation.
Finally, then, if the French president were to ask your advice on how to deal with Islam in France, what would be your advice to him?
Well, my advice would be to tighten up immigration standards to make sure that there was a questionnaire that would identify past mosque connections that they had had, past connections with Islamic organizations, and would require a statement from them that they do not themselves hold to the notion of conversion by the sword or to various other elements that are present in traditional Islam. And this would also say that if it was learned later by investigation that they had made any false statement, that would result in their being thrown out of the country immediately, if not sooner. So I would tighten, I would suggest the president to tighten up that area. But that's a problem in every one of our Western countries. We are not sufficiently concerned about that. And as a result, people are getting into the country who shouldn't be. And as far as the existing mosques are concerned, I would say you're doing a fine job. France has closed down several radical mosques. Heavens, that's almost never been, it's never been done, I think, in England. There was the Finsbury Park Mosque that was a school for radicals and for terrorists. And I think that still exists. I think they got rid of one of the imams, but that was about all of it. What governments need to do is not to control the religion as such. What you control is beliefs that are contrary to the fundamental beliefs of the nation. And if you find that those beliefs are being promulgated, you eliminate those who are promulgating them, and you eliminate the organizations that they represent. And if you don't do this, then these problems simply proliferate. They get worse constantly because radicals want to increase their impact.
Before we let you go, Dr. Montgomery, tell us briefly about the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights held annually there in Strasbourg, France.
Well, we're full for the summer, and we have a quarter of the places already committed for 2019. Why has this happened? It's because it's the only Institute of Advanced Studies in Apologetics in the world. The top people are there as instructors. It's limited to only 20 participants, so there's lots of opportunity to have contact with the instructors. And the whole focus is on looking at those issues that keep people from Christian faith today, the intellectual objections, and to provide the very best answers, not all possible answers, but the very best answers. So people want to come to this. This is the best training in evangelism. The reason that we don't do the kind of evangelism we should is because we don't have the answers and we don't want to be embarrassed. Well, the answer, the response to that is there's a place where you can get those answers. And we strongly recommend that if there are listeners who have not heard about this, or those who've put off attending, that they check it out and sign up as soon as possible for 2019. That's a year from this coming July. And as I say, a quarter of those places are already taken. So we really recommend that people make decisions early on this.
You can learn more about the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is Emeritus Professor at the University of Bedfordshire in England. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States, professor at large with 1517 The Legacy Project, director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and author and editor of more than 50 books, including his latest, Defending the Gospel in Legal Style. And he joined us from Strasbourg, France. Dr. Montgomery, thank you very much.
Always a great pleasure.
When we come back, we're going to talk about media coverage of the life and work of Billy Graham with about 24 hours after his death. There's been a lot of media. We'll see what Terry Mattingly thinks about it right after this.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Have you ever wanted to better understand philosophy and its impact on your family, your church, or your world, but didn't know where to begin? Concordia University, Wisconsin has an innovative, free online course for you entitled Philosophy Kata Christan. These six engaging video sessions are taught by noted Lutheran philosopher, lecturer, author, and pastor, Dr. Gregory Scholz. Learn more by clicking the Kata Christan logo at issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org.
At Zion Lutheran Church, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, we've adopted the motto, A Changeless Christ for a Changing World. While many congregations try to market a message that appeals to what a changing world wants, we continue to give a constantly changing world what it needs. A changeless Christ in word and sacraments like the church has done for 2,000 years. If you're in Chippewa Falls and would like to have the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation that Jesus won on the cross and delivers today in his church, please join us poor, miserable sinners. For more information, visit cfzionlutheran.com.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
How was school today, kids?
Crazy! Hector's cherry tear got hit by a stone, and his eyes fell out into the dust before him there at his feet.
Sounds like Patroclus was being hot-tempered, rude, and quarrelsome again.
He always is. Dad, what's for supper?
I don't know yet. Supper is such a problem.
If it's a problem, you can use the scientific method to figure it out.
Problem? We want supper. Hypothesis? I think Dad will make tacos.
Actually, I was thinking about spaghetti.
Tacos or spaghetti?
False dichotomy.
Is this the after-school conversation of your dreams? Registration is now open for the 2018-19 school year at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois, the only classical Lutheran school in the St. Louis area.
Hey, Dad, how did my violin practice sound?
Kiddo, it sounded epic.
Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org. School.stpaulhamel.org.